everything in it, is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as he is needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, and they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, through he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring.
Good morning. Give a moment, see if Trenton has recovered. Actually, what I thought was, I wonder how many times Riley got taken out crying like that. So, just the way all of us had to go through those times. Before we get into our lesson, let's have our prayer together, please. Father, we are so very grateful that you love us, that you take care of us, and that you provided mercy for us that we desperately need. And we know, Father, as we see Jesus gathering the children into his arms, we know, Father, that what a precious, wonderful treasure you've blessed us with in each one of our children, the babies and toddlers, the children and teens. Father, we are so very grateful for each one and their joyful, joyful sounds as they're here with us. Father, we ask that you'll bless them, that you'll be with their parents and grandparents, with their siblings, that each one, Father, will grow, will do well, and that they will come to learn about you through us, through those who love them, through your word. Help us, Father, to see every child as you see us. Help us to see them as you see them. And Father, help us to honor and glorify you in all that we do for each other, for them, and for you in this world. For through Jesus we pray. Amen. If we could take a vote, and I think I know how this vote is going to go. Do y'all prefer Monday or Friday? Which is the better day of the week? Monday, I know y'all would say. Because, you know, that's just the best day ever. Now, I guess I am biased toward Mondays because of what I get to do on Monday. But most of the time, we talk about how wonderful Fridays are. Oh, it's the best thing ever, isn't it? We're grateful for it and all that comes up. And so when we look at that idea of having a day that we get to cherish and look forward to. Now, that kind of concept of having a day that we cherish and look forward to is one that we understand. I love Romans chapter 8 because it gives a snapshot in there for us to remember. Because of what we have in Christ, we don't have to fear anymore. No more fear. Because of what we have in Christ, we have hope. And in the middle of those two concepts of reminding us that we don't have to fear anymore, and that we have a hope that we live out, he talks about how this creation groans, looking forward to what God is doing, how we groan, looking forward to what God has promised us. And so we know that one day, there's the key phrase, one day we'll have a day that's better than any other that we could have ever imagined. In fact, Jesus in John chapter 14 gives us that kind of picture. He says, you know, look, I don't want you to be... Wait a minute, I did give those verses in Romans. As I'm getting ahead of myself. But here it is. Here I was talking about Romans. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. We don't have to fear. In this hope we were saved. If we have hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. John 14 is where Jesus comes along and says, I don't want your hearts to be troubled. Don't get all worried about what's going on. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? In that phrase, I want us to hear what Jesus is saying. He's saying, one day I'm going to come back and we're going to go home. One day we get to go home. One day, all of these things in this world, we don't have to worry about anymore because we get to go home. Now, we know that idea. Have y'all ever been on a long trip? What's the best place to show up to once you've been on a long trip and you've traveled a whole bunch? What do you look forward to? I look forward to home, to my own bed. There is not another bed that I've found anywhere that matches my bed. I can sleep. It's comfortable. And sometimes the best part of a journey is a trip. When we've been away is when we get to walk back through our own door, where we get to be home. And in that aspect of it all, I think, you know, it's just, when we live in this life, it's easy for us to groan. To say, I want to go home. Because in this world, we have all kinds of things that really make it hard. John chapter 16:33. See, I've told you these things, Jesus says, so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you'll have tribulation. In this world, you'll have struggles. In this world, there'll be pain and there's sorrow. In this world, there are things that really are so very difficult to have to wrestle with. Now, we know in Christ, he says, he's overcome the world. We can rest in him because we know what he's promised us. And we wrestle with what's going to be. So we know one day we get to go home. And Jesus in John 14, when he says that, in a sense, he's saying, come on. Let's go home. I'm making it ready for you. We're getting all set. Have y'all ever thought or heard somebody say, I don't know why I am still here? That the burden of life and living is so difficult. And the promise of home. Oh, we get tired, don't we? And we look forward to that one day when we can get there. In a sense, we're the kids in the back seat after we've driven five minutes already saying, are we there yet? Just wanting so bad to be home and get where God wants us to be. Now, the thing is, while we're waiting today, this is where we are. I mean, we can talk about one day we'll be home. But the thing about one day is that it's not here yet. This is where we are today. So what do we do about today? I mean, do we just kind of twiddle our thumbs and sit around and say, come on, hurry up. Let's get this over with. I mean, are we expected to live a life? This is not to disparage teenagers, but you know, I remember we expected to live life like teenagers just cannot wait till they get to this next point because then life will be better. You know, when I'm 16, I'll be able to drive. When I'm 18, I'll be grown. I'll be able to make my own decisions. Yeah, we live life sometimes that way where we're just trying to skip over this part to get to where the good part is. And so what do we do with today? And the thing is, we are here now. We're living today. We're in this moment now. And what is it that God has in mind for us in this moment for today? I don't think he intends today to be seen as some burden, to where our lives are seen as an innumerable number of Mondays where we're just waiting for one day when it's Friday. But we got to get through all these Mondays so we can get to the good day as opposed to what God has in mind for us. Is it possible for us to love being alive today? Is it possible for us to see this present moment as good? Now, the thing is, one day is a promise from God. And I'm going to hold on to that promise. Because there's nothing in this world that I ever compare to that one day. But today is a gift. If y'all listen to the scripture reading, where he says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. God gave us a gift of life. Every breath we take, every day we live, is a gift from God. And so in this moment, in this day, we see how today is a precious gift from God. An opportunity. An opportunity that today we can live, we can love, we can make a difference in other people's lives. We can take today so that God is honored and glorified by it as we live out our lives. You know, one day, I hope for one day, and I know it's going to be. It's not a matter of if, it's when will it be here. But while we're here, I'm glad that I am here today. And we can have both. I can look forward to that one day and be glad for today, the gift that God has given me. Now, how do we take today and cherish this gift of this moment? Because when we woke up this morning, now depending on if you were a morning person or a night person, this may kick in at different times for you. But when your mind caught up to being awake, whether it was early this morning or whether it kicks in here pretty soon at lunchtime, and you start to realize the day's going on, how do we cherish today and see what God has done for us in it? And I think gratitude and joy are the key phrases in that. In Ephesians chapter 5, I want to jump down through a couple of these. He says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. We only have so many days. But he says, make the most of every opportunity. This is the only opportunity we have. Do you want to make something different in this world? Today's your opportunity. You want to make a difference in somebody else's life? Today's your opportunity. And so he says, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always giving thanks. That comes up over and over again in different places. That idea that to be thankful for all we have in this moment. And if we live with gratitude, if we live being thankful, what we realize is that we get to thank God for every breath that we take. That we take a moment and realize that God has been good to us. He has blessed us. He's been there with us all along, that we have life, we have love, we have so much in this world, in this moment, to where we can look around. When we get to enjoy, I see the difficulty. When you're raising the children, poor old Cherie having to carry Tritton out. Now, she's gotten used to it, I guess. Maybe it's not so hard on her. But you know, when you're having to raise children, it sometimes you get caught up in all that goes on and having to wrestle with it. But for those of us who don't have to worry about that, we watch, and when Trent goes out, do you know how many of us actually smiled and laughed? Well, I think all of his brothers may have been laughing at him too. But how many of us took joy in that moment, just knowing that's just what life is? To be thankful. Thankful that he's here. To be grateful for what God has given us. And if we stop and look around us and see, oh, wow. Sometimes I allow my mind to get caught up in all the things that are wrong and never stop to remind myself what is good. What God has done for us today. You know, to be amazed at life. When you take a little one, you can be a baby. I think 3-year-olds are amazing. 12-year-olds are, wow. I think every age, when you get to look back and you get to watch them grow and learn, it's like, oh my, that is so good. But then we look around us in this world and realize that that is what we see everywhere. Just the simple things. When a flower blooms, the smell of rain, being able to give a hug to somebody we love, to be able to sit in our favorite chair and breathe for a moment, to be thankful for all those moments God gives us, to say today is good because God has given it to me. Now, the other thing about a gift, what do you do when you get a gift? I did see somebody posted one, it had to be not too long ago, that said, you know, if today is the gift, today I got socks. Well, today is more than just socks. But when we receive a gift, it's something that we respond to. Y'all must not like socks, or you love socks, because I don't know. But when we respond to a gift, usually we get excited about it and have that joy. And so the challenge for us in today is to remember there's a reason for joy in this moment. In Philippians, Paul reminds us sometimes we struggle with forgetting that aspect of things. Do everything. Oh, you know, in my Bible, this is marked out. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Well, no, that's not true. It isn't. Haven't y'all ever wanted to mark that part out? Sometimes it feels good to grumble a little bit. But he says, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Stop fixating on what's wrong and remember the good God has given. So just a couple of verses down from those verses, Paul says, even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Even though he says I'm coming to the end, I rejoice. Later on, chapter 4:4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. We find a moment today to be able to find the joy of what goes on. Find joy of how God has been good to us. And in this moment, we are able to take advantage of this gift and rejoice in it. Today is an opportunity to make a difference. Today is a gift that's been given to us by God. Sometimes it's harder for us to see that, but the truth is, every moment is precious. We just got to remind ourselves. If y'all didn't see Miss Congeniality, maybe you ought to just for this. As the young ladies are asked, what, describe your perfect date. And Miss Rowland says, ooh, that's a hard one, but I'd have to say April 25th. Because it's not too hot, not too cold. All you need is a light jacket. When is the perfect day? When is a day that is good? You know the best day ever? Today. Hebrews, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Today, we are together. Today, we get to be there for each other. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Today is the perfect day because this is the day where we are. This is the day we live. This is the day we get to determine who we will be. This is a day where we get to make a difference for each other. And maybe today is the day that you need to take a step and make a change. Whether it is to make your commitment to Christ by putting him on in baptism to make that change in your life, or it's to get back on track to say, you know, I've been burning my days and I'm ready to live a day. And we'll be here and pray for you, whatever you need. If you need to respond, would you come as we stand?